Okay. All right. So we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee. Meeting of November 12th, 2012, and it is about 6:35 in the evening. Would you please take a moment to review the minutes from last meeting? Let me know if they meet with your approval.
I'm okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Then we have two topics on the agenda for the discussion this evening. First one is the proposed 2012 proposed property tax levy. This, you know, that you'll be seeing in greater detail a little later this evening and as part of a presentation and eventual discussion at the board meeting. So I thought I would just run through this quickly, answer any questions that you may have, highlight some areas of concern or areas that I felt might need to be highlighted, and then we'll move on to the fund balance discussion, the second conversation this evening. So here is a chart that we created, or a slide that we created, and it talks about changes between EAV, CPI, and the tax rate. You know that we have had decreasing property values, not only locally, but statewide and nationally for the past few years, and that's certainly something that isn't any different here in Glen Ellyn. And I wanted to present this because there have been questions that have come to the district. You know, the local township assessor's office get them, and the county of DuPage gets them too. What's the relationship between property value, CPI, and tax rate? As you know, in addition to new construction, those are really the major components of calculating your tax extension. So what this demonstrates here in the far left-hand corner is that if CPI and existing EAV are essentially the same, that means your tax rate will be unchanged for the current levy. However, if CPI remains as what it was, but you have decreasing EAV, that will force your tax rate to increase. Conversely, if your EAV is increasing, it forces your tax rate down. Now, for a number of years, you know, that law was brought into effect a number of years ago, the Property Tax Extension Limitation Act. And for a number of years, the EAV was constantly increasing, which was always forcing down the rate. Now, the past 3 or 4 years, we've had the exact opposite occur, where the EAV has been decreasing and the tax rate has been increasing. To give you an example, just a few years ago, we had our existing EAV here in the school district was in excess of $1.4 billion, and now last year it was $1,298,000. And as you've seen in a board report, I've spoken to the township officials, and they believe that EAV will increase about 6.4% in the district again this year.
Increase or decrease?
Decrease. EAV will decrease by 6.4%. So meaning that when we did our calculations, we decreased EAV to about 93.6% of last year's levels. Again, these are all estimates. Really, the known facts are not all put together until next spring, when all of the various numbers that are associated with calculating the levy are known. So again, these are rough estimates. As I said, I've reached out to the local officials. They've given me their best estimates also. So, I'll just run through these rather quickly because, again, we're going to have a more in-depth discussion at the board meeting. CPI this year is 3% based off of last December's CPI increase. I'm actually looking to asking for a levy increase of 11.71%. And my calculations come in at about an increase of about 11.32%. The reason for such a significant increase is because of the abatement last year of the BNI levy. Mike? Again, historically, the CPI rate history chart. Mike? You know, we have this conversation every year. We've tried to narrow the gap between what we actually ask for and what we actually receive. As you see, we've been pretty consistent over the years in decreasing that spread. Last year, we came in and asked the board for permission, approval for a 3.69% increase. With the abatement, it actually came in to a 4.52% decrease. So that's what gives rise to such a significant increase in this year's request. what's the separation between those two numbers this year, and we're calculated about 0.39%. The total levy request this year is for $43,492,000. We expect to receive something less than that, about $43.3 million is what I actually expect to receive. As you can see, I was talking a few minutes ago about the tax rate. It was decreasing every year up until 2007. Actually, when we roll over to 2009 was the first year that we expect or anticipate an increase. You've got 5 years now with the levy that's going to happen next month where that has forced the tax rate up.
Bob, what is the max? There's something with this rate that max, right?
Yeah, there's max among most of the rates. The education max is about 3.5%. There's differences for all of them except for the B&I that's set by the assessor's office.
So it's not it's an actual cap on the rate, not a percent allowable increase.
There is a cap up to a rate maximum, and ours is I just know the Ed Fund offhand is 3.5. There's differences in there, and I have the worksheet back at the office that shows. The assessor sends out a worksheet every year that shows what your maximum rates can float to, and I know offhand that Ed is 3.5. Phyllis, do you recall any of the others?
Well, no, but it's called the statutory maximum rate, so it's across statewide depending on whether you're a unit district or a dual district. So there is a statutory limit for each, for not every fund, but most funds. There's a statutory limit for Ed, O&M, Trans, and that's it.
So there's a hard limit. There's not
a
limit. A
max. There's a rate. No, it's a tax rate. It's not a percentage change. It's a tax rate. And that's where a lot of districts are now running into. They're starting to hit that ceiling rate because of the EAD decline.
I think O&M is 0.5. Transportation is something less than that.
I
think it is 0.4. So they're all a little bit different among the funds. So this is what we're asking for in terms of levying in dollars for each of the individual funds for a total of $43,492,000, and $2.8 million of that is due to the B&I fund. Just real briefly, what are the next steps? And that is that we'll be posting in the paper on November 29th the proposed property tax levy. And then we'll be bringing this to the board for their approval on December 10th at our board meeting at that time. Just a couple of other highlights. The proposed increase, given these numbers, for the operating rate is 4.41%, where the overall rate, as I stated earlier, request is for 11.71%, so that actually equates to $4,558,000, of which $2.8 million of it is from the B&I levy. Are there any questions that I might be able to answer for you at this time?
Well, I would just note for you, kudos to your department for coming in so close between the actual request and what you expect to receive. That's just been a lot of good work over the last several years, getting that gap closer and closer and closer.
And we kind of sweat this time every year just trying to get that number so it's not too large, but yet we want to make sure we have our bases covered also. No other questions? Then we'll move on to the next conversation this evening, and that is the estimated fund balance presentation. I believe we started this conversation maybe last year in anticipation of the levy, and as you know, I believe I stated in the board report that the final numbers won't be released until November 15th when we receive the approval from the auditors to release the comprehensive annual financial report. But let's just say that these are as good as the numbers are going to get in terms of fund balances. So in the edge fund, we have about $8.4 million, O&M $3.3 million. Debt service, the reason we have such a large balance there now is because of the transfers that we made last year in anticipation of the not having levied last year, but still needing to make sure that we had adequate reserves accounted for in the debt service fund. Transportation, $186,000. Social Security, the retirement fund, $400,000. Capital projects, $35,000. Working cash, almost $3.3 million. Tort is $3,600 for a total of $18,895,000. Then to give this some perspective in terms of where we anticipate being after this year, I've included the revenues for each one of the various funds. And these are the. This is the budget that you folks approved back, that the entire board approved back in August. So these numbers have not changed. We're estimating revenues at $45,152,000, expenditures of $47,364,000, for a deficit of $2,211,000, which would reduce your unaudited projected ending cash balances of $16,683,000. Then I've done two calculations here, which is the percent of operating expenditures, excluding working cash, and then including working cash. Dan, you asked a little earlier today in terms of why I was presenting both of those numbers. I was requested to do so. So.
And maybe you'd like to know my rationale since I made the request.
Yeah, I didn't understand why.
Well, it certainly is not intended to be misleading. I'm not exactly sure what you meant by that, but working cash is something that I think in and of itself could be a discussion. You use working cash as your district savings account, and so typically in most districts the working cash is something that's never touched. And yet if we were to decide that the working cash is really larger than we need, then you could make a decision to abate that, a portion of that, permanently. Usually it's a loan, and there are rules governing that, you know, those loans to other funds. We did that one year, if you recall, with transportation. But so that's why, I mean, I think in and of itself it could be its own conversation about what is the proper limit and amount you want to keep in your working cash fund. And if it exceeds that, as part of that whole fund balance, is that something then you would go down in that fund? So that's really the reason I thought it should be talked about separately, because it's a different picture. You know, given that working cash is this set aside for the purposes of protecting the district at times of low cash flow, so you don't have to do tax anticipation warrants. But you may also say, maybe we don't need that. You know, we don't need that much in there. So that's the reason I asked Bob to show those separately.
And you can abate, I mean, if we were to take that road, you know, in the future, you can abate a portion of it or the entire amount if you wish to close that fund. If we were to use part of it for a building campaign or for funding capital projects, that's something we could do.
But you would never want to abate it completely, because then you have no choice but to go to tax anticipation warrants. And usually a district is in pretty dire straits if they're abating their working cash.
Yeah, my only reasoning was, because I was looking at, even with the abatement we did, if you compare it to what our policy of 25%, so I'm trying to do an apples to apples, and I see, 35%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we've talked about other capital projects.
Right.
And I sent a note to this. I just wanted to see for next year, because obviously this is for this budget year, but for next year, which is what the levy will be voting on is for, is, okay, what is, where does that add up to relative? You know, if you want to say this chunk is for future property, I would like to see
how
it broken
much
out, so that you have fund balance 25%. Everything above that has a reason for it.
And that really is part of the reason we wanted to bring this here this evening before it goes to full board discussion, is how does the board want to talk, how does this finance committee want to talk and recommend areas above the 25%? And do we want to make a single recommendation or a collection of recommendations that then could be kind of agreed upon, and then the Finance Committee might work further about, well, where are our priorities. But we felt we needed your input on that.
So we're going to, I've asked Dave Scarmato, who's Director of Buildings and Grounds, to go in and sort of update where we're at with capital projects, and it's our intention to more than likely bring back an updated capital project so you have might have some idea in terms of what will be occurring or what our recommendations are going to be over the next couple of years. And when I anticipate bringing that back to the Finance Committee next meeting. Also did some calculations that for every $3 million in a reduction in fund balances, I calculated it to be about a 6.5% decrease in this percent of operating expenditures. So if to reduce fund balances by $3 million in the next year, your percent of operating expenditures would go from 35% to about 28%. So you asked for some numbers. I was trying to get you those numbers. The other thing is that the state of Illinois has changed, I was in a seminar within the past 18 months, about you can actually designate fund balances for a particular project and budget them. So you allocate $2 million for roofs. The only thing is, once you identify that $2 million as a project centering on roofs, you can't go back and change that to something else that you decide to use it for. If you designate it for a particular project, it has to be used for that project. So you can't use it one way one year and another way another.
So if you said $2 million to roofs in FY14, and then your plan for the following year was $2 million for HVAC, you couldn't do that?
Not if you've identified it in a budget document that specifically says 2014 we're going to do $2 million in roofs, and then you try to go back and change it.
Oh, okay. But you can do multi-year different projects.
My intention was to say you if you're going to go out and make a comment, you're going to commit X number of dollars of fund balances for a particular project, you're required to go through.
Gotcha. I mean, that makes sense. So, Dan, just to restate what I think you were asking to make sure as we put something together for next meeting, that we would say, okay, in the FY14 budget, we anticipate X million dollars representing the percentage of fund balance above 25%. And in that X millions of dollars, here are the options. We might even prioritize those options by what we think is most important down to least important and the accompanying guesstimate of dollars associated with that.
Right, yes. I mean, essentially so that it all totals up, mm-hmm. You know, so the numbers all net out. That way you can say, hey, here's our fund balance of five, and then here's what we're doing with the rest of it. You know, I mean, you could just still leave it in capital. As long as, you know, you say, here's the capital bucket, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Right. And we've identified almost $2.8 million in projects that we think we'd like to do. When I say think, we're still in the discussion process. You have a recommendation for this evening's discussion around the Hadley Library, but kind of the unknown right now is the STEM lab and how quickly that can be implemented at the elementary level. So we're going to go back, we're going to do that work, and we should have it back to you by the time this Finance Committee gets back together. What we're trying to do is give you several meetings where you can have this levy conversation so that when it comes to December 10th, hopefully the board has had ample time to resolve any outstanding issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we need to have that conversation with the board on what that is equaling out to the 25, you know, what we just talked about, not at that December approval, but I guess next meeting at the latest.
You'll have our recommendation next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Bob, can I ask you a real quick question?
Sure.
4.2. What is the definition in terms of how is the 25% calculated?
That is Ed O&M transportation in working cash.
So it does include
working cash.
Okay. So the 35 mm-hmm. is the number.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Based on the.
Although we view it, you know, I understand that's a board policy. From my perspective, we kind of view it as that district savings account, the rainy day fund, should we ever need it. I know we've never approached it, but a couple of years ago, we needed to borrow $400,000 from transportation on the education fund. That's just an example of something that may occur. Whether it does occur again or whatever the circumstances may be, I really don't know at this time. But that's just an example of how emergency funds could be needed from time to time. Any other questions, comments, anything else you'd like to see prepared in anticipation of our next meeting?
Well, the thing with the word cash is we're not really levying in there besides $1,000 a year. So,
you know what?
It's growing slowly.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. It's kind of just a fixed amount. It's not. Yeah. It's going to add. It's become a smaller percentage of the whatever percentage you want to attach to what you think the fund balances should be.
Yeah, we levy 0.0001 is the rate in the working cash fund, which gets us about $1,400 annually. The other part of that growth is due to interest revenue that's accumulating on that account.
Right.
But it's a pretty fixed number in the big picture.
Okay. Look, we've got $36,000 in revenue expected there this year out of a 40-plus million budget. Well, that's all I have for this evening. Is there anything else, any other comments, anything you'd like us to take a look at in terms of anticipation of the next meeting that we'll have a little greater conversation of regarding the levy? Anything in particular you'd like us to look at over the next couple of weeks?
Well, are there any priorities that you would ask us to explore that might be priorities for using fund balances?
And I guess I go back to the 4.2 and what's that number? And I agree with Dan. Anything above the 25,000, the 25%, we need to figure out what that is, what that hard number is, what the percentage is, and bring us the options, and I think at that point we need to prioritize that. That's probably more of a full board discussion than it is a finance. And we can certainly rank them how we see it, but I mean it's ultimately a full board discussion. But I agree with Dan. I think we need to get more detail in terms of anything above the 25%.
We'll look at that and then bring you back some additional information at our next meeting. Any other items for discussion for this evening?
Probably after this is over.
Okay. So hearing none.
What's that to discuss?
Then I would close this evening's meeting.